Hi, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 616. In the last episode, I talked about getting the message out. Incidentally, if you listen to the podcast and you have some inkling of what the message is, and you want me to speak to your group in whatever capacity you want me to, you know, keynote speaker, well, that's kind of gutsy, breakout session, whatever. The phone number is 1-575-461-2716. Or you can also contact me via email at autism@quix.us. You know, it just occurred to me, if somebody were to listen to the last one and say, well, okay, what's Jay's message, you know, and of course people don't sometimes say, well, this is episode number 615, you know, that was 615, you know, have you listened to any of the other episodes? There are a few. Not to say there's 615 episodes, but they're, I'm getting close to just wondering specifically about the topics I've been talking about in the last year or so. There's nearly 100 of them now. It's getting up there. It's kind of scary, actually. You know, I include all the stuff that I ever did as quasi-indefatigable Zenlith, which is a lot of interesting, weird recordings that aren't on the pod, on any podcast. And that's where we get up to that large number. What is the message? And what I can say is, it's simply Jay's work in progress. And because it's almost like, I think I was referring at some point to writing a book, and a book has such a finality about it. You write a book to set the record straight, especially if it's nonfiction. You write the book to say what the truth is, and you go, you know what? I don't feel confident saying that my search is done, that I have found the answer, and here it is, you know, spelled all out, as if it were some book. I don't have that yet. But what I do have, and you could do this as Jay's message, and you know, given different audiences, I may talk about different things. About what I think are really important things. And I think other people do too. Although they might not have come to it the same way I do. In fact, I think my wife would be the first to say Jay never comes to any conclusion the way anybody else does. He's you know, boy, Jay's unique. And it's not always complimentary. Sometimes it's like, Jay, shut up. I'm tired of hearing it. So that's why I'm going to take it out to other people, because frankly, Lisa's tired of it. Lisa helps me to stay humble, because she doesn't think anything of it. You know, I mean, she's supportive, and that's kind of her, and I'm grateful. And that's part of the message, too. But there's so many. Now, I guess the biggest thing is, the truth as I know it is the message, and how it relates to so many things in our lives. You know, when I would talk about child development, for instance, which is what I actually studied in college, and how I haven't abandoned it, but I've moved beyond it for several reasons. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons now. I can certainly do it again. I think I've done a little bit of it in the past. I don't mind repeating something that I think I've covered before, because as time has passed, I have new things to say and new insights into it. The biggest thing I guess I could say about child development is that is something that is true of a lot of things. It's much ado about nothing. Child development ends up being about the study of averages, the study of the connections that we've come up with based on those averages. And I find the sickening step we've taken to try to force averageness out of everyone. If somebody is below average, I guess forcing average would be considered to be an improvement. But just from my standpoint, I think I was above average, at least in some ways, that it wasn't useful for me. In fact, to pursue this stuff very long would be detrimental. And when I found myself, or after my training, when I found myself in a position of trying to do these things day to day, I found that my heart wasn't in it. And then I started to think about, well, why is my heart not in this? And then I started to explore and to say and to find for myself that the reason why was because I don't think it was the right way to proceed. To know the average of what people are, I guess that does constitute truth in a way, but not on an individual basis, only on a larger societal basis, which has very little use, I think, when it gets right down to it. Many of the things that we do, are focused on surveys, on generating some kind of useful number, and that number is usually based on some sort of an average. Not always. There's other ways of drawing together and trying to collate information, trying to make the overload of data that we have, trying to make it useful. And so many times I think it's something of a wash just because it really isn't relevant for a lot of people's lives. Trying to get children to focus and having adults trying to purport that the most important thing is to make sure that your child is average in every single realm of human endeavor that we've cooked up. I'm sorry, I don't find that useful. In fact, I often question whether it's even a good thing to do. And that's, I'm sure, heart-wrenching to those who taught me, if they were to hear me say this. And I will. I've gotten to the point where I can be a little bit bold and say, I don't want to upset my mentors, the people that I respect. People who showed their kindness and caring toward me, that was important. That was the important part, was that kindness, that caring, that kind of connection that I made with those people. That's something true. That's something that is part of that message I want to share, is that connection. When I was talking about, I hate it when it does that. That's why it's so great to have notes. When I'm speaking to you, I have notes and things don't flee. Although sometimes if some insight embeds itself in my head, I'm going to talk about it. I can't believe it's gone. It's just right there. It's almost like I'm being kept from it for some strange reason. I'm sorry, it's gone. So, the message is, what's deeper? What's beneath these things? Why do these things become important? When we find some truth, the most important thing isn't just that we have a truth, it's what do we do with it? What do we do with these things? The thing that I lost was about families and what we tend to do with families. What our culture tends to ask us to do that really isn't pointed directly at your family needs, but they feel like if everybody's doing this, everything will get better. And I think that's something of a dangerous way to be. I guess you could call it checking in with defaults. You know, I'm going to have, you know, we're going to do the default things families should do if they can't think of anything better to do. And I'm the person that says, I think it's really, really important to find better things to do. Going with the default is often dissatisfying, at least to a person like me. And I had this discussion with one of my daughters, my younger daughter. She is 14, and I wanted her to try to find what makes her heart sing. And we had a conversation about that down in Mom's bedroom, so we could have a little bit of privacy, and talking about, you know, what her plans were, college, life, because she's struggling with high school. You know, it doesn't seem to have a lot of meaning for her. And I understand that completely. High school had very little meaning for me. I was just doing it because it was what you're supposed to be doing. Isn't that so much what our society is about, you know? You can't come up with anything better to do. Do what you're supposed to do. And it's gotten to the point so much that we never even bring up the fact that, you know, do this if you don't have anything better to do. We chopped off the if you don't have anything better to do and just said, do this. You know, every man should go to college. Every single person should go to college. College, college, college. Push, push, push. You know, there's nothing else to do. If you don't do that, you're dumb, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything. And it's like, I'm sorry, we have so much ample evidence of people who didn't follow the traditional course, and who not only did fine, but excelled, did amazing things. That's why I call the normal course that we set for people in our society the default. If you have nothing else going on, if you have no other aspirations in life, go ahead and do the default. Y'all might learn something. I'm one to say that school is sometimes a detrimental thing, but you know what? It's better, I guess, than nothing. Maybe. Given the way our society is, given the way people are these days, given the kind of dependencies that we kind of almost have built into us by our cultures and by our genetic natures that we have inherited from our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, we need to be able to step, you know, I guess we have to have those defaults. But I do, if there is no other thing you get out of this episode, if you say, Jay, I think I know what kind of messages you have, so I don't know why I'm listening to this. Hopefully this is something that's a little new, or at least a little different perspective. But there isn't just the defaults. You don't have to just follow that course. You know, you don't have to go to school. There's homeschooling, there's the GED, there's several things that you can do besides just sitting, and I twiddled my thumbs during most of school, just kind of doing my time. And I guess that's a visceral reason why when I went out into the workplace, if I was twiddling my thumbs a lot, I felt the need to fill time. And if I couldn't satisfactorily do that, or if I didn't feel what's the word for it? If I didn't feel honest and upright, that's not really what I was going for, but I think it's close enough, in doing that, because there's a whole lot of jobs that if you're not doing what they want you to do, and if you can't find your satisfaction that way, you can't do that job. You will get bad reviews, you'll get stuff like that, and I've never liked getting bad reviews. So I would simply leave and do something else. And my job, by and large, bought me the free time that I was hoping for, to try to figure out not just who I was. That's a small thing. Well, that's not really true. But to find out what I needed to be doing, what makes my heart sing, what brings purpose and satisfaction and joy to my life, not just to people's life in general. That's what watching football on TV does. That's kind of a default, this should be able to bring great joy and excitement and fun to your life, is watching football. And you go, you know, I'm sorry, that does absolutely nothing for me. I'm not interested in those kinds of things. I don't want to denigrate those who really enjoy that, who football really is kind of the end-all, be-all. I don't want to denigrate those people. If they're default people, that's cool. If they can be happy doing that, you know what? They should feel glad. Some days I wish I could just lead a normal everyday life and it would, you know, fulfill my needs and I could be happy. Because I know people look at me and they go, I don't understand why you're behaving like that. I don't understand why you say the things you say, Jay. I don't get it. You need to just sit down and watch more TV, like all the rest of us do, and then you won't be thinking about this stuff anymore. Maybe you'll get happy finally. It's like, you don't, you know, and I just have to know that I'm, that's not me. And I guess people, you know, if your group has some people that aren't like that either, who say, you know, my life isn't consumed by what's happening next on some TV show. I don't even know what the TV shows particularly are now. Because I don't have TV. I haven't had TV in 15 years, which totally flummoxes people. And it's like, what? The absence of something is so problematic? That's where a lot of the child development stuff comes from. They're also worried that if you're missing something, it could be vital, like TV. You need to make sure you get your regular daily dose of TV, because if you don't, you might be missing something vital. It's like, oh, God, please. Anyway, I'm at my destination, trying to come up with something to tell you. You know, you just really have to listen to not all of them. If you see a title that sounds intriguing, listen to it. Try to read through the lines of what I'm saying. My speeches, my talks, go better than this, honestly. If you want me to shoot from the hip, I can, but, you know, it's schizophrenic. Have you noticed that? I bounce from idea to idea to idea to idea. When I do a speech or a talk, I don't do that. I have my notes. I know basically where I'm going to start, how I'm going to build to my conclusion, and then hit the conclusion. You know, if I have a breakout session, you know, let's talk about the mechanics of how this is going. With the little PowerPoint presentations, I'm not really big on those, but I can do them. And, you know, all the other cool little nifty things we can do. I can do all that for you. If you would like me to, if you say, boy, let's get Jay in here, because Jay is just interesting. And he's got interesting insight. If you think that, and if you want me to speak to your group, the phone number is 1-575-461-2716. I live in the United States. I have it's a U.S. phone number. The country code is 1. Okay, just so you know it. Once you get to your international operator, that's how you do it. You say, I'm dialing the United States. The area code is 575. And the phone number is 461-2716. That's how it works. If you want me to come internationally, I certainly will. I have no problem with that as long as you're willing to pay the bill. I think I've been recording. God, I hope so. Let's take a look and check and make sure. I think I have been. Excellent. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. Have a great day.